Welcome. You're tuned into Life is a Sacred Journey. Every week, we bring a new perspective to aging and caregiving. Here is your host, Michelle Pohl.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of you out there in our virtual world. This is Michelle Pope, and I'm welcoming you to Life is a Sacred Journey. For some reason this morning, I cannot get my Facebook to work, so I'm going to try to pull up. I'm going to try to do some stuff behind the scenes, but I am recording it. So what will happen is instead of maybe doing it live, unless I can find my daughter here in the next 5 minutes to grab a phone and put it up, we will drop it into Facebook Live later. Technical difficulties. This is the first time this has ever happened to me. I've even taped this show from a hotel, as you all know. So welcome to Life is a Sacred Journey. This morning, I am excited to have among me some incredible people who have come together to create a fundraising opportunity for Alzheimer's Services of the East Bay. But before I bring them to the mic, I want to first of all give you some tips for Thanksgiving. I will be with you the Friday after Thanksgiving, but you will have already gotten together and spread COVID among yourselves. So let me explain to you what you need to do, okay? Because I know you want to be with your family. I want to be with my family. I miss my son. I love him. I've kissed him from a distance. But COVID is real, you guys. This stuff is killing us, and we're on another surge. So wear your mask. If you haven't been with those folks and they haven't done their shelter in place for the last 14 days and been tested, you shouldn't be with them on Thanksgiving Day. Sorry. Plan for Christmas. That's what my family has decided to do. We're going to plan for Christmas. We're all going to shelter in place 14 days before. We're going to have the stupid thing done, and then we're going to come together on Christmas Day. And then we're going to be outside cold in the backyard with coats on and scarves and hats because we want to see each other 6 feet apart, blowing kisses, giving virtual hugs. So go to the CDC. They have this incredible thing called Celebrating Thanksgiving, and it tells you everything that you can do, but I've told you the basics, okay? And we're going to live through this. And you know what? Sometimes we have traditions that we're so stuck to that we don't even learn how to do nothing else. Like, who said Thanksgiving had to be when it is? And who said we had to celebrate Thanksgiving the way we celebrate Thanksgiving? I'm just saying. Create your own family traditions and stop letting people pull you around by the nose to decide when you're going to bring your family together to eat. Okay? All right. Peace. I love you guys. And again, I am excited this morning because I have the opportunity to speak with Nicole Kearney from Sip and Share. And I have the opportunity to speak to Brando. Brando, I was thinking about this all the way in the car. You've got to pronounce your last name for me or I'm going to annihilate it. My New York accent does that just like GQ principal. So pronounce your last name. Oh, Minahar. Okay, I got that. That's like Minotaur. I can do that. All right. Welcome, Nicole Kearney.
You're from New York, so yes, you would say that, but it's actually Kearney.
Kearney! There we go.
I'm from New Jersey, so I understand anybody from the East Coast automatically pronounces it.
Don't we do it?
There's a place out there, I know. We automatically, anybody is from the East Coast.
And I park my car in the Harvard Yard, okay? And
I yes. See, I'm South Jersey, so we go to the shore every summer.
Well, it's so good to have you with both of you with us on Life is a Sacred Journey this morning. I am excited because Alzheimer's Services of the East Bay is constantly trying to figure out ways now to stay afloat and to create new and exciting things for people to do. And I believe that people still want to come together. And so Jason Matthews, who is our board president, was working with Fern Stroud from Stroud Management. She's supposed to join us again this morning. Maybe something. Traffic was so bad this morning in the Bay Area. And she said, well, why don't you have a virtual wine tasting? I'm like, wait a minute, girlfriend. So do you mean like we're going to, what does that mean? And yes. She said, yeah, she was too funny. She said, Michelle, we're going to deliver the wine. I was like, oh, okay. You know, I'm very childlike. I'm in my 60s, but very childlike. And so I want to start with you, Nicole, because I read your story. And when you hear Brando's story and my story a little bit, you'll see how this synergy has come together here. I think the universe never makes a mistake. You know,
never
makes a mistake. So you had a whole other life.
And yes. Right. Before this.
Before that. And now you're doing this, and I'm not gonna tell your story, but what I love about it, if you could see my office really close up, if you could take a microphone and look, there's affirmations all around me. Okay.
Love it.
Affirmations.
Love it.
Even on my I'm gonna show you. Even on my little thing, it says own your power. There's affirmations everywhere. I have a 21-year-old daughter, soon to be 22. Good morning, Jade. And all over her mirror are post-it notes of affirmations, because I believe the truth is not only in the Bible. I believe the truth is everywhere, and we have to have access to it to feed our spirit. So I've led you up, people, there, right? Now you're trying to figure out, what the heck is she talking about? I thought she was talking about wine. Okay.
Right.
Nicole, tell your story. Tell your story.
So, again, I'm Nicole Kearney, and I'm the winemaker and founder of Sip and Share Wine. So I want to tie that in real fast. So people don't feel like, what just happened?
I know.
Our wine name, so this is the sample of one of the bottles we'll get, is like Manifest. So every one of our wine names are purposeful, affirmational names, gratitude, love, intention. And so that ties that together for y'all, just in case y'all thought she was just going somewhere. That really went somewhere. That was a perfect segue into that. So we use our wine, and like I said, the purposeful name to give that kind of affirmation and just reminders to people on a daily basis just when they're drinking. But we started this in 2016. Okay. We started out repping other winemakers, so black and women winemakers. And that's really how I got into it. That's how I originally met Fern. I came out to the Bay Area to do some drinking. I live in the Midwest now, and I flew out there and had a great time. And I had been asking the question, where are the black winemakers? So I wanted to get those into people's homes so they can drink them and they can be introduced to all this fabulous wine. And then just time and just legalities of, you know, getting wine across states. But like wine is one of the most regulated, or alcohol is one of the most regulated industries, in the world. We were already making our own sangria, so we just figured a path to making it easier was, my business coach at the time was like, hey, you know, you're black and you're a woman, so, you know, you're already doing this, so maybe you want to get into the into this. And I'm a writer, college professor, writer by trade. So that's what I was really doing was, you know, I had shows and I was, you know, producing. And so I was like, pouring wine and doing wine tastings for my friends and folks. That was cool. And it was a side thing that I was doing. So I was really had my own full-time thing, but the wine just started taking off and people were like, hey, you know, we want it. Can we get it? And so we had to figure that out. And then 2018, we just traveled the country, and we had about 20 different wines.
Oh,
and we went to Essence. We came back out to California. We went to the East Coast. And we let people just try it. We're like, just, what do you like? And we took that feedback, and we took that 20 wines, and we narrowed that down to the 7 World Wine Collection, which is what we have out now. So in 2019, we released that collection. 2018, we became a winery. 2019, we put the first wines out, and we just kind of been rolling since then.
Wow.
Fern is an amazing partner. Black Vines, this is an amazing event. We try to get out there every couple of years. So we do East Coast 1 year, West Coast. So 2020 was our West Coast year, and so we didn't become the Black Vines because COVID was just starting.
Okay, yeah.
People were getting sick, but we had some family members who had already been ill and weren't really sure what was going on yet.
Okay.
So we were dealing with some of that, and then it was like, oh, then we understood when it really just came full circle. So, yeah, so it's for us, it's been an incredible journey. We have so much fun, and we started doing the virtual wine tastings because of COVID. Like you said, people still want to be in community.
Yes.
And we're all about creating community with our wine,
yes,
and specifically for people who have been overlooked and underrepresented by the wine industry. So that is who we target. So we wanted to make sure we can still stay in community, we can still get our wine, we can still laugh and exchange energy and, you know, and be with our folks. And it has been a wonderful time. We do about 5 or 6 virtual wine tastings a month.
Oh, wow.
And we have a blast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we have a blast.
Well, and you get to meet all kinds of people. You know, that's what I love about community. I think about the word community and unity is a word that can sometimes be used to oppress people as well as to be a victory word. But community, and because I grew up in a community where there were all kinds of people, Jewish people, Black people, you know, Puerto Rican people, and so there was a flavor in the community that when I moved to California, even though people have said, oh, you know, this is one of the most diverse, liberal, it really is a very segregated state. And from where, if you think about where I came from, you know,
yeah,
and even though we had our issues, because we did, the reality is we learned how to live with each other. Whereas here, we're still just learning. And I think that's what I love about bringing all these different, I mean, when I look across the screen even now, I had no idea that Brando, what Brando's ethnicity was, or when I first met Fern, because I met Fern on the phone. So, I'm not trying to dissect. I'm not FBI trying to figure out what her dialect is and whether she's this or that. And then when I met her and she walked in the room, I was just like, whoa, you know, and what I love about it is that it shows that people of color can come together and do creative, magnificent things in the community and not just the stereotypes that are constantly thrown at our young people to see the side of our community that, quite frankly, I don't want to see anymore. I want to see us coming together and being together, Mexican, you know, Latino, Hispanic, my Cuban friends and brothers and sisters. I learned this, the two of you, when I went to Cuba. I went to Cuba, and Cubans are all hue. Black is this coat, white is this shirt, cocoa, and other colors. But they're Cuban. And that's what draws them together and makes them a community. And so that's kind of where I've been since I came back from there 3 years ago. How do we become a community in a way that pushes the needle forward to a greater humanity? And Brando, I'm going to bring you in the conversation now. You know, you are the marketer for an incredible community of elders that are living and in place in Alameda, in a wonderful town called Alameda that I love. And you were, I called it an institution when we first spoke, mistakenly, and I had to correct my monkey mind to say community. So tell us a little bit about Mariner, and you know, and I want to, before you do that, I want to just say that Brando has offered to and donating through the organization Mariner Point the goodies that you will be getting if you buy a ticket to our event. So Nicole is our extraordinaire winemaker, and she's going to be joining us, by the way. So you get to have an up-close personal. And then Brando's going to be joining us, by the way. But his organization is going to give you the wonderful goodies. And so Brando offered that up so we would not have to pay any money for our goodies. And so thank you, Brando. But tell us a little bit about the community that you represent.
Yeah, thank you. And first of all, I just wanted to acknowledge Nicole. Man, amazing job.
Yes, right?
I just love seeing women stand up and, you know, you have an amazing voice and just going out there and pursuing your dreams. So, man, God bless you and your business. May it continue to grow and expand. And so exciting, so exciting. So, I'm from Oakmont of Mariner Point. And Michelle is actually right. So the word facility or institution, so the word facility is the F word at Oakmont. We don't say facility. We're a community.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are offering the charcuterie boxes to go, you know, to pair it with the wine. And when people hear, this is coming from a senior place, like, what? I'm telling you, our food is amazing. Oakmont is a leader in the senior living industry. It is recognized. And
mm-hmm.
one of the things that we're known for is our food.
Okay.
I've had people move from other places just because they went on a tour and they're like, this is amazing. I am moving here because of food. So that's just one part of the experience, you know, for seniors, the excellence in culinary. But, you know, when it comes to care, so we do offer assisted living and memory care and just in a beautiful environment. When people come tour, and I want to invite anyone who's listening to come tour.
Yeah.
It's a really beautiful place. It's always described as a boutique senior living community. You walk in, you can smell the fresh cookies. Just beautiful decor. You know, people described it as,
Jay, can you bring my
coffee? This doesn't feel like a community. It feels like a big house, like a big, beautiful house.
Oh, wow.
And that's really what you experience when you come into Oakmont. So our residents love living there. What's been really nice is that through COVID, we haven't had one person move out.
They've been
so happy with the culinary experience. We've been doing tray service to all the rooms. We've been doing activities in the hallways and just, you know, being a little bit more unique but still engaging our residents throughout COVID.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a challenge for sure, but I'm just grateful for our team and how they stepped up and just the feedback that we're getting from residents and their families of how happy they've been with management and how they've been able to handle, you know, this whole experience. So, yeah, that's a little bit about us. Like, you know, Michelle said, we're in Alameda. Next to us is Cardinal Point, which is our independent living community. And so it's essentially, if you come to this campus, you can age in place. You can move into Cardinal Point if you just retired at 65. If at some point you need higher care, like assisted living or memory care, you could always just across the street just transfer over. So it's really nice when people look for us as an option that they're like, wow, we're a waterfront community, but you can age in place as well. So that's a little bit about us. If anyone has any questions, feel free to ask. I'm more than happy to answer any questions. But that's a little bit about us. I don't know, Michelle, if you want
Brando,
to share.
Give them a phone number or something where they can contact you. So I didn't, because I had no idea that there was independent and then people could move in. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
It's a great option. Like I said, it's a waterfront community.
Mm-hmm.
Alameda is an island for people who don't know. And it's in between San Francisco and Oakland. It's a beautiful community. I live there with my family. And, yeah, it's very unique. So if you're interested in learning more, you can call us at 510-347-5959. So that's a little bit about us, but we're so happy and grateful to partner with, you know, with Michelle and her amazing organization. So props to you for all you do and just the value and just the service that you bring to the East Bay. Such an amazing organization. And thanks to Christine for
connecting. Yes, our board member,
because you're an amazing human. Just in our conversation the other day, we just had just a phenomenal conversation, and I'm excited to get to know you a little bit better. Michelle, and
as I, you. It's so interesting, you know, when we I'm so happy, you know, this is amazing. This is amazing. I have to thank the universe. I got very ill 4 or 5 years ago, and I got better. And when you get better from something that could have taken your life, So what you see is, I was really a cool person before, but I'm even a cooler person now because I know the value of every second that I breathe, every second that I get a moment to talk to you or Nicole or the homeless man up the street or the stranger that I meet anywhere. That's what I try to tell people, and that's why this platform is called Life is a Sacred Journey. I didn't know it. We've been doing this for 9 years. Life is a sacred journey. Ah, now I get it. It is sacred. So, Nicole, you are a part of 0.01% of Black-owned wineries in the country.
Yep. Well, Black women winemakers.
So Black women.
1%, of just Black winemakers. Only 1% of all winemakers are Black. And then 0.1% of that are Black women.
And is that just because of the inability in the past to purchase property and be able to pass it down? Is it what is that? Because we're in agricultural people as well. So is it the lack of wealth and where we not able to pass wealth property along, or were we not able to learn? You know, because I know winemaking is passed down generation by generation. So what are some of the things that gives this very low percentage that needs to be changed?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. You're right. We are agricultural by nature, that, you know, when a lot of our families, you know, unfortunately, were enslaved in the South, you know, in the Caribbean, and we did, you know, the agricultural work. So I believe when people got the opportunity to get free and go north and go west, they left those roots behind and just didn't want to come back to them. But if you go look back, like we're finding out now, like Uncle Nearest, you know, the story that he was the wine, the distiller who actually taught Jack Daniel's and bought that family recipe. So it's the same thing. You probably, as we keep digging, there are hundreds of Uncle Nearers that were bringing their family recipes into these already established or beginning wineries. So we were always at the forefront because we were always doing the work. And I think we just kind of left that. You know, we sold land, we sold property because we didn't want to be attached to that kind of the historical trauma that still does for a lot of us. So I think that's one thing. And then as wine begins to progress, it just became a really elitist industry. And it was a way to show, you know, a certain class or status. And so a lot of people just got left out. And we also just weren't socialized with it.
Yeah.
So we know a lot about the brown. You know, anything that's brown, it's on the shelves. You know, we know all that. But we just, you know, but everybody could probably remember, you know, the grandma or the auntie. Especially if you are a Black or brown person in this country, somebody was making something in the basement, underneath the sink. It was, you were told, don't touch that, I'm going to pop your hand.
Yeah.
So they were making the dandelion wine or the fruit wine or whatever was growing, you know, out, you know, in the gardens and stuff. So we have that history. We're just now kind of getting back to it and realize, oh, we actually have a birthright to this. And we could be in this industry doing what our ancestors did. And so let's get back to that. So that's one of the things I want people to remember. And like I said, we let go of the land. And that's okay because you can still get into this business without having the actual land. So there's people farming and doing the work. And you can still go make deals with them. But some folks don't want you to have that opportunity. So they're not going to want to work with you directly. So sometimes you got to get a broker. You got to go find somebody that doesn't quite look like you.
Oh, wow.
Who will go help you do the work. And so it is a challenging industry because you do get challenged. Just for me, like going to wine tasting or going to a restaurant. You know, we could do that, you know, just really freely. And people are like, oh, you want to get? No, I don't. I need you to bring me the list that everything that starts with bubbles, that's where we're going to start. And then I'll move my way through this. And then if you don't have anything on your list that's sufficient that I don't want to pay money for, then I'm just going to get a cocktail. But we're already, like, prejudged.
Yeah.
And then people don't think we know when we go into a tasting, like, what do we like? But we have all of those hurdles. But we spend $1 billion a year on wine.
Wow.
As a black community.
Wow.
So we are drinking, and we spend $3 billion if you count wine, beer, spirits. So we're drinking. We are contributing to the bottom line of so many companies,
mm-hmm.
but we are not included in their marketing. We're not included. I was just telling someone last night, when you usually see a person of any ethnicity in a wine publication, it's usually their hands, and they're usually pouring and serving other people. So that, to me, it's very stereotypical. It's very biased. But the people who've done that don't even, in their mind,
mm-hmm.
they don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how they see black and brown people. So we don't even use that word. We pour for the people. We don't have that in any of our literature. We don't use that word because we understand, because again, as a writer too, we understand how words impact people. So we have customers, you know, all across, you know, humanity. We do center black and brown people, however. But we don't want people coming in with the mentality of, oh, you serve. No, we pour. We'll pour you the wine. You can join this community, but we don't serve you in that respect, because some people can take that, like you said, it can have a great word when we're serving our community, we're giving of that love. Just like Brandon, when you were talking,
yeah.
I'm like, I felt that passion and that love, you know, when you were saying, you know, that memory care, I love that. That love, I'm like, I'm like, next time I come out there, I'm just coming to take the tour. I'm gonna have lunch too.
We'll both go, Nicole. I'll go with you.
Yeah. Even that, when you said memory care, when you talked about, you know, the community of it, you can age in place. See, all that for me, I'm like, wow, I don't want to live there. You know, because it's a, like you said, the F word. Yeah, I don't want to live in an F word, but that community and just, you know, so, and then the testament that nobody's moved out, because they're like, yeah, we don't even want to go back and be with our children. So like, don't send us them. We stand right here in our own community. So those are things like we, and that's the kind of community we create. So I think that's, you know, the worrying of it and how we get people to start rethinking that we, we know, because COVID hit, black and brown people, we make everything happen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be really clear about that. When work shut down and black and brown people went missing from jobs, things stopped. Period.
Yep.
So folks do not realize that that's who makes sure everything works. Like, I'm the person, like, I want to go in the kitchen. It's got to be two things now. If it ain't Big Mama, or there's not two women back there that only speak like 5 words of English, I need all your teenagers to translate, I won't eat this.
Yeah.
And we have to stop being, as citizens of this country, so small-minded that we think we can't learn another language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like somehow that's taking away from our Americanness. So I grew up in Europe. I'm a military brat. So I grew up in Germany. So I have a family that speaks multiple languages. So it just blows my mind for people to be like, well, ma'am, there are people who speak 5 languages. And they're 12.
Yep.
And they're 12.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, we complaining because we, you know,
yeah.
we can't speak, you know. I'm like, most of y'all can't even get the King's English down. But let's leave that alone. And then, so it's like, it's interesting to me, just, you know, like you said, the, you know, I think COVID is exposed a lot. With COVID and then the whole civil injustice, it's exposed a lot in the unfortunate last 4 years of, you know, lack thereof of leadership. It's exposed a lot in this country. But I think the one thing for me, I think for black and brown people, we understand now, we all we got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got it. Like you said, when you go to Cuba, everybody sees it. But now it's like, how can we support one another?
Yes.
What can we do
yes.
To support one another?
Yes.
You know, like, you know, and so I think that's what we have to do as a community in unity.
Well, and Nicole, not be the carriers of the same disdain that has been perpetrated upon us.
Yes.
With each other. You know, I take my dry cleaning to a dry cleaners in my neighborhood called Blessed Cleaners, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I take my clothes there. Because, again, acquisitive, Michelle, I saw the sign go up. I go, Blessed Cleaners, what does that mean? So I go in. I say, what does Blessed Cleaners mean? Well, we don't use any chemicals to hurt Mother Earth because we believe that the earth is a blessing from God. That's my dry cleaner. And I love them because they repair. I'm hard on my clothes. I love clothes. I was in the fashion industry before I came to the nonprofit world back in New York. And I love clothes, but I'm hard on them. I wear them, and they sew things. They put the buttons on. I don't even know my zippers are broken, and the next thing I know, she'll say, I fix your zipper. But somebody said to me, well, but you're black. Asian people don't like black people. Possibly. There's a lot of people who don't like people. But if I treated them based on any other Asian person that has mistrusted me, misused me, whatever, I would never have had now what is almost a 30-something year experience with this family who also lives in my neighborhood and is a part of my greater community. Every Christmas, they know I love honey. I use honey for my skin, my hair. I love honey. And so they go to the honey farm over there in Danville somewhere, and they give me a jar of honey every year. That's 30-something years. I don't get a calendar. I get honey. And it's because they know me. And it's because I don't go in there and just throw my dirty clothes at them. I go, how's your kids? How's your family? I'm glad you didn't get COVID. Oh, what's that smell coming out of the back room? Oh, we're making some noodles. Ooh, what kind of noodles? And that's the problem that we have in our community. I am very pro-black. Believe that. But at the end of the day, because I have traveled the world, I know that half of the planet are people of color. And so to be able to say to the world, I want to learn something about you so that as a humanity, which is who we are, we can come together is so glorifying. There's nothing more wonderful than that. And of course I've had
people travel. People need to travel. That will change.
That's it.
That's how it changes. Go somewhere with people who don't look like you and, like I said, and embrace the culture. Don't go to Jamaica and only stay right there on the resort with the 10 people that you booked the trip with.
Nicole, thank you. Whenever I travel, I never go to tourist spots. People will always, when I come back, they'll go, did you see? I'm like, no. Because I went out, when I went to Bali, I went into the villages of Bali where the fisher people live. They're fishermen, and they go out in these boats.
Mm-hmm.
And they took me out in the boat. I lost my mind because I'm scared of water, but I overcame it with them. And I don't even speak the language, but they taught me. And I ask questions. And I do this because I spent a month in Bali. And every time people greet each other in Bali, they do this. Now it's a part of who I am. We have to think about that. And so, Brando, when you're talking about your community where people are aging in place, how do you bring in culture so that all people can feel welcome in that community?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the first thing with that is the actual residents, because we have, you know, like Nicole was saying, you know, you lived in Germany for some time, if I heard you correctly. We have some residents from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we people think that as a community, it's only Bay Area people, but I have people from other states, from other countries. I have people who fought for Germany in World War One. We have people from all over the world. So that's so beautiful because that brings the diversity. And, you know, that's what the word university, it's unity in diversity, right? And I think that's so beautiful to understand. And so I think the first thing as a community is the residents are the ones that bring culture. But what we do as, you know, a team is we invite culture in. So what I mean by that is we have a robust activities program and events program. So weekly, so during COVID, we haven't been doing this because obviously visitors are not allowed in the building. But we've been Zooming them in. We've been doing some things a little bit different. But pre-COVID, what it usually looks like is we have different performers and entertainers. We've had, I think they're called hula dancers, right?
Yes.
So Polynesian. We've had hula dancers. We've had Jamaican music. We've had rockers. I mean, anything that you can think of as a community to perform weekly for our happy hours, which... maybe we need to get your wine there, Nicole. I was just thinking that, you know? Like, we would love to support you. So getting some of that wine there and knowing and telling some of our residents that, hey, we're for you as well. You know, we are for the Black community. So those are the two things that I really see that creates that community, that diversity, that brings so much life to the community. Because I think that's what's so beautiful about diversity. It brings color. Right? It's not bland. It's not just vanilla ice cream. It's like chocolate, raspberry, everything together. And there's so many options. And so it's really great. And I love getting to know our residents. Phenomenal stories. I mean, like I said, people from all over the world, Brazil. I have a couple from Argentina that's moving in December. You know, so that's so cool. And just getting to work with their families. I speak Spanish, so... You know, in the tour, I mean, they didn't look Argentinian, but she obviously assumed that I spoke Spanish. And she was like, "You speak Spanish?" And I was like, "Of course." And she was like, "You do?" And yeah, I'm Argentinian. Oh, and you know, so it's really cool. So that's really exciting for us whenever we see people from all over the map moving into the community. That makes it really special. And our team is very diverse, too. We have a lot of Filipinos on staff, you know, Black people, Latinos, you know, people from all over the world, which is really great. So that's why I do love California as well.
Yeah. Well, and I love California, too. I've been here 30-something years. My babies was born here. But I'll always be a native, you know, to the East Coast. There's something about growing up on the East Coast that anywhere. I think anybody. Anywhere where you grow up and spend your formative years, and I grew into my womanhood there. I grew into my first, you know, I got arrested in front of Fleet Bank because they had cougarons from South Africa, you know. So I became Michelle back east. And so I carry that energy always with me. But I do love California and what it has to offer. And I have an incredible community of friends here that I'm so thankful the universe plopped into my life because I have only two cousins that live out here. Everybody else is back there. So it's really cool. And now I have the two of you, you know. Every time someone comes on Life is a Sacred Journey, and all of you that will be watching this, and I'm so sorry, my Facebook Live friends, please forgive me. I have no idea what happened to Facebook this morning. But you're going to be watching this later, and you're going to hit your share button, and you're going to do all the things that you normally do. So forgive me for this morning, and I'll come back next week, and we'll get it right. Hopefully, it was not my fault. It's on Facebook, okay? But what I want you to see here, and what I always talk about in my sermons and when I do my workshops and when I bring any people together, we're having conversation. And when you have conversation, you get to know each other. You get to know yourself. I've learned something really incredible about myself today, right? I've learned something new about Michelle Pope and just in this very conversation. I'll be changed by Nicole.
I'll be changed by Brando. But you have to be intentional. You can't be having fly-by-night, Zoom-by conversations with people. We keep acting like we're going to have relationships just because we happen to be in the same space. It's not a relationship. You're just sharing space and air, hopefully. But what we've just shared here is our story, where we're coming together to do something great for the community, because it's not about me, it's not about Brando, it's not about Nicole. The bigger picture is we're doing something that will be a footprint in the community long after we're gone. Long after we're gone. People will even forget who we are, but the footprint that we leave is so important. And so, Nicole, before we leave this moment, I just want you, if you would, share with folks who have purchased tickets, because we're selling tickets like mad, what they will experience on the 21st from 2 to 4. You're part of the experience, because I'm not holding you responsible for the whole experience. But you're part of the experience.
So first of all, we call them sip experiences.
Oh, I love that.
To go with our brand, Sip and Share. So
yep.
We do sip experiences, and so I will come on, and we do guided, interactive, virtual wine tasting. So we want people to come and be ready to ask questions, to get involved. So we're going to give you, everyone will get a sampler set. So they'll get a box, and it has all 7 wines in them. So when they open it up, they'll see the different everything in there. There's going to be a mat for them. I think I have I probably have one somewhere.
Oh.
But they'll get a mat that'll actually, like, guide them through the wines. They'll also have a postcard. And we're just going to go through the wine. We're going to do some wine education. Our wines are all vegan, so everything we make is vegan.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of people don't know that wines are, you know, that wines aren't vegan. So everything we make is vegan. So we always get calls from people say, well, do you have that vegan wine that I like? And I'm like, they're all vegan. So yes, whichever one you want. So everything we make is vegan. I'm a pescatarian, but I used to be a vegan. My family, and we're a business of family, so my family, a lot of them are vegan and vegetarian. So we wanted to just create a wine that was at a good price point that people could, you know, afford, but it was also good for you, whether you, you know, chose that particular lifestyle path. So you'll get to drink these really incredible wines. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk through the wines. You know, I'm going to give you some tasty notes. I'm going to give you, like, a guide on how you drink wine. And, yeah, it's 90 minutes of pure, or we're doing 2 hours. We're going to have 2 hours, 2-3 hours, whatever we're going to have. We're going to have a lot of fun. So bring your questions.
Yeah.
Buy the tickets because, like you said, the tickets are for a great cause. So
yeah.
This is not, like you said, I love it. It's not about any of us individually. It's the opportunity to do for community. So, I'm an East Coaster, too, but I'm big on community. Love doing things for the community. You know, I've got a background in community economic development as well, so I do a lot of community engagement work. So so the opportunity for this, for us to also be able to give back and share, you know, in this opportunity for the community, community work is just stellar for us. So, you know, gratitude for allowing us to be a part of the event as well. And we are looking forward to meeting everyone who's, you know, purchased the ticket. We might give something away, or we might tell you about some new specials we have, because we're doing this right before the holiday, and so we've got some great Black Friday deals, so
okay.
People who drink the wine might want to buy some wine, so you might want to wait, and, you know, until Black Friday and, you know, get a little deal. So, yeah, so it's just a lot of fun, like you said, to be in community, to explain to people why we're vegan and what we do. We just enjoy sharing that story. And, you know, and just being in community with people and allowing, you know, our virtual tastes allows us to continue that engagement, like you said, and meeting people and learning their stories. And so for that, we are just, in, you know, eternally grateful for the opportunity and for this opportunity as well. And meeting Brando, it's like, I'm telling you, you sold me on the community. I also want you to make sure you say if there's a social media presence, like what that is, so I can follow you. On social media as well, because I just, and then you hit me today, like, I'm just telling you, like Michelle was saying, she learned from today, man, you hit me with that universe, unity and diversity is university. Bruh. Mind blown.
Me too. That's what I got too, Nicole.
So now I'm gonna be out here. I'm gonna be just really extra with people and be like, "No, yeah, let me tell you what I learned today." I'm just gonna repeat that for like the next 2 weeks until people are just so tired of hearing it. But I'm about to tell both my children. You know, they're both college age, and I'm just gonna. And then now I'm rethinking that whole institution of education. When you said that, like it, my mind just went to, wait a minute.
Right, right.
So it's in their name, and my son happens to attend a university where there's not a lot of diversity. He's like, there's like 7% black population.
My daughter too.
And so I'm like, wait a minute, but your name is this, and it's Purdue University, because I don't put them on blast. It's Purdue University. You have a lot of folks that, you know, are outside of the country and a lot of other, you know, ethnic diversity, but they need to do better. So now that's like, and I came out of the university system, and I primarily teach, you know, I like adult learners, so I do a lot of adult learning, but I want to challenge now universities with this. So, yeah, so Brenda, now, I'm going to be saying your name. I don't even know who you are, but I'm like, let me tell you about Brenda. And you work in this awesome community of care. And I'm going to just tell you that he blew my mind with this, like he hit me with this, and then they're just going to be like, oh, yeah.
Don't you love it?
I am now a disciple of the Brando. I'm just going out here to spread the word of Brando.
Yeah, well, I think some of that comes from, you know, like Michelle, I have a minister background, and I'm also a life and leadership coach. So I think there's a lot of disciplines in my life. So I think when it comes to a university, it's mostly focused on the education piece, right? We want to find unity in all of this type of knowledge. And we want to bring it together, but it shouldn't just be about education and knowledge. It should be about culture.
Yeah.
Yes.
People. Yeah. That's everything. That's what a true university should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
oh my gosh. Because. Oh wow. Okay.
I know. I'm taking notes. I just want you to know that I am over here taking these.
I wrote notes too. Well, this is the thing I'm thinking right now, you guys. Check this out. I'm thinking, we came together to talk about the event, wine, your community, a little bit about the event, and all these portals of awareness have opened up, and we've only been speaking for 45 minutes, and so, and I'm like, what would happen if we sat down for an hour? I'm thinking that. So we may have to do that. We may have to have a conversation on culture, you know, and we'll get a couple of other people to join us down. Because, you know, I'm my little heart is just going a pitter. I'm so warmed by this conversation.
Same here.
Yeah. So I thank you so much. So yeah. I'm going to let you both get back to your life, and I'm going to let Felicia get this and fix it and edit it and make sure that it gets out to our virtual world that we talk to every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. I want to thank you, Brother Brando. It is my honor, and I, as I wrote in the email, I am humbled. Humbled to finally get to know you, and I namaste. You are amazing, my brother. You are amazing. And Sister Nicole, I wish I could just embrace you.
I receive everything you gave. So yes.
So love and peace and grace and joy to both of you. Yes. Thank you so much for helping ASAP do this event. But more importantly, I am so blessed to have met you both and to I really have met you, because now I know you. Now you walk with me. Okay.
Yes.
Your spirit now is a part of my spirit. And you will walk with me wherever I go. I take a piece of Brando and I take a piece of Nicole. And that's my friends out there at Life is a Sacred Journey. That's what you should do. You should tread gently in the soul of another person, because you take a piece of them with you, and they you.
So stop. Stop debating. Stop being mad.
Right.
Be peaceful and meet each other in a place of conversation and inquisitiveness. Be like a child. Do you ever notice?
Yes.
When a child knows you're upset, they kind of look at you.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of move up to you. And they rub up against you. To calm you down.
Yes. Yes.
So be like a child.
Mm.
Have a great Friday.
Yes.
Peace and blessings to all of you out there in the virtual community. I thank you. I love you. I'm grateful for your life. I would not be here if you weren't here. And we're here for this time for a purpose that is yet not known to any of us. So
yes.
Let's live it out together, let's do it together, and let's do it in love and peace. This is Michelle Pope. I am your host of Life is a Sacred Journey, and I love ya. Have a good weekend.